That's a real pretty song that talks about the beauty of heaven. And you know, sometimes you have a day where you look around and everything seems to be perfect. The temperature is perfect. The sunshine is perfect. You get to do what you want. Maybe you enjoy, whether it is recreating or being with your family or doing something that just seems like everything could, you know, things could not be better. And then we realize that heaven, you know, that isn't comparing to heaven. And so we always think about the fact of what God has in store for those who are faithful. And that would also mean that we need to be concerned about those things that may prevent us from going to heaven. And so tonight what we want to do is deal with a subject matter of, I call it the dangers of the internet, is what we're going to talk about. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 1st chapter, talked about the Gentiles as they turn away from God. And he describes them and talks about the fact they started worshiping the creature rather than creator. And that led to all kinds of things they describes for us in the latter part of that first chapter. And one of the phrases that stands out to me is that it says they were inventors of evil things. And that is, they figured out new ways to do bad things. And as you think about man, that man has the ability to problem solve, to do things to make life easier. And a lot of times it leads us to invent things. And a lot of our inventions are really mind-boggling when we stop thinking about it. We take them for granted a lot of times. And for us, just think about, you know, 100+ years ago, that whenever the first person decided, you know, I think I can figure out a way that I can make a buggy here and this carriage and put a motor on it and actually put a gas in that motor and it'll start going good places. And the idea of transportation of our cars, what would life be like if we didn't have cars? You know, it's just hard to imagine that as far as the impact that's had in our lives. And there are other things that we look at and realize that, again, we just kind of take for granted the telephone. Whenever I was a child, a young baby, whenever one of my uncles got killed in an auto accident in Butler County. And the only way that my parents living in Louisville had to know that that happened was my grandparents had to go to somebody that had a phone and then had to call somebody in Louisville that had a phone, and that person had to then go to my parents because neither my grandparents nor my parents had a phone in their house. And that wasn't unusual because most people back then didn't have phones. But the phone, I mean, how magnificent is that? We can talk to each other anytime. We can text each other. We take pictures with it. We can Google with it. We can GPS with it. And we can do all kinds of things with it. Our main thing about the invention of the microwave and how that has changed, again, food preparation. And, you know, just things like that, that we have to maybe take for granted, that really has been startling. And then, of course, the computer. Computers are really amazing. Most of us don't understand how they work, but we know they do work, and we know that they're useful in all kinds of activities. That the fact is that computers have made life more efficient in a lot of ways. And that hospitals, medical industry has used computers to be able to take files and share files and keep things and send files all across the world. The businesses use them all the time. That almost every person in one way or another has been changed a little bit by computers. We had a member up there in Owensboro who was a farmer, and he said that he did not own a computer. Now, what he meant by that is that he did not own a computer inside his house. However, I went riding with him one day in his combine, and his combine had a panel up there that told him the moisture percentage in his corn, how much corn he was getting yield per acre, how much weight was in, you know, in that hopper. In other words, that combine had a computer telling him all kinds of things, and his tractor the same way. And so a lot of people have computers, don't even realize it. Our cars, space flight, And all this here saves time and saves money and helps our lives get a lot easier. And then, like I said, we have iPads and iPhones and all kinds of things like that that we use on a daily basis. And then that we have what we call the internet. And most of us have pretty good information about that, we understand. That allows our computers to talk to one another. That the internet was, first of all, basically a military type thing where bases could communicate by computer to other military bases. And then universities got involved in that. They could share information. Then banks and all kind of industry got involved in. And then the average person started buying computers, and we could also share information. And this here kind of gets to the point of dangers of the internet then that we want to talk about. Now, to do that, we have to realize the internet has all good, you know, information. In fact, what is it exactly? Again, it's a network of computers, basically, that are linked together by this thing called the internet. And it's called the information highway because basically the World Wide Web means exactly that. No matter where you're at, no matter who you are, if you have a computer, you have an internet access, you can communicate and you can find things all across the world. World Wide Web basically means any place that anybody else has a computer, they can read what you write and you can read what they have put on there also. And those things here, as well as the internet, again has many different uses, and that is social networks. Again, a lot of people are very familiar with that. That is, we have all these things that we now communicate with one another. We have Facebook. And as I look at the numbers of these things, the numbers of these are mind-boggling, literally. And that is Facebook has 2.85 billion monthly users. Billion, I mean not billion, but billion monthly users. You have this thing called Twitter, which I have no idea how it really works, except people get on there and they tweet something and they can tell other people what's on their mind and basically share their day with other people. And they have 353 million users each month. Then you have this thing called YouTube. YouTube, the numbers of that is just, again, mind-boggling to me. 2.3 billion YouTube users. There are over 2 billion logged in users that visit YouTube every month. And every day, people watch over a billion hours of video on YouTube. To kind of put that in perspective, if you live 70 years of age and you spend every hour of your day for 70 years, you get just over 500,000 hours, about 600 million hours. Let's give me 600,000 hours in the average lifetime in 70 years. And so that means you have to live basically about 7,000 years to be able to watch a billion hours of YouTube video. Again, it's mind-boggling. And there's other places here. You look at the idea of bloggers. There are 600 million bloggers that write things for Earth on their mind, again, on a regular basis. 280 million annual users on Snapchat. And then there are other things, you know, Bible-related materials. Congregation churches have figured out that, and that is this, the internet's pretty good, and as we can develop websites, we can share sermon outlines and articles and post videos on those and have Bible classes available on those. There are sermon outlines, again, commentaries. All these things are, could be good things, and church directories are often available on these places like that. And so you look and you find that the churches use this here to communicate with one another. Where I use our email, or I use our messenger to actually communicate with a lot of you when things happen. Those, again, that's over the internet. And so that makes that much easier. We have our own website. And then also educational. And that is, we can learn things. You can take classes online. And University of Phoenix, you can figure, you know, that you can get a degree online. You can watch all kinds of different type of entertainment, YouTube and games, play games on the internet, watch movies, TV shows. All these things are available. And business, honestly, you think about these things here, eBay. Amazon has created their business based on the idea you don't need a physical store to buy things, sell things. All you need is the internet and access to buyers and access to sellers. and he can put them together. And so that, those things here are all, you know, things, catalogs are available on the internet. And so those things are good things. However, we have to realize there are dangers also. And dangers include things. One is the internet addiction. And that is that when you get on a computer, there's an amazing thing, or we start playing games, amazing things happen. And that is, there's a time element that seems to just kind of get changed. And that is, you can sit down and think, I'm going to spend 5 or 10 minutes on this thing here. And before you know it, you've been there for 2 hours. Or you stop thinking about, I'm going to do a little bit of research, and before I realize that I've been 4 hours doing that. Well, it seemed like just minutes. And so that can go, that can happen. It just makes time go by faster. And because that, a lot of times we think, well, I'll get to something else later on. I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. And we get so wrapped up in our computers or on our phones, whatever it is we're using, that we just decide we procrastinate on doing instead of doing things we should. Also, children can be isolated, withdrawn, because they become so attached to their devices. I know of various schools that have talked about having to cancel sporting teams, sporting activities, because, quite frankly, they could not get enough young people to go after the team or to participate in a sport. And they relate a lot of that to the fact is that they'd rather be home playing their Xbox or other type of games than actually going out there and playing a real game. And so that happens. Adults can become withdrawn also, isolated through the use of the computer. And there's a principle in the Bible, and that is the principle of not being mastered by anything. Over in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, and I know Paul here is talking about the eating of meats and eating things that the law of Moses said was not allowed, but under the law of Christ is allowed today. But he's making a point here, a principle, and that is all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, he's not, doesn't mean there that whatever I want to do is okay. What he's saying is doing those things that are okay by the law of God doesn't necessarily mean that is what we should be doing. Just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean it is always the right thing to do. If you allow something else to control you, to master you, then there's a problem there. And so we look at this here and realize that we have to just understand there is the problem of some as far as the fact is that we can become slaves to basically our games. We can become slaves to the television, to the phones, anything else. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It talks about the, you know, about evil companionship. We need to think about who are we associating with on a lot of these things. Who are we actually communicating with? And finally here, it causes some to steal from their employers. I don't know, it's been a few years ago now. But it was one of the government agencies that kind of did a little bit of study, and they found out that many hours every day are lost because the people that they're paying to do jobs are instead are either playing games on their computers or communicating, social communication, or even watching pornography on the internet. And that is not unusual that many companies have the same problem. And so it's some that people simply actually are stealing from their employers but when they're doing that. And then also there is the danger of getting on there and you have all these people that want to communicate with you and basically the networking sites that says, you know, I want to know who you are. I want to know you better. Or maybe you get that pop-up on the screen that says single females in your area are looking for someone. Or maybe you get the papa that comes up and says basically that there are, again, hookup websites. And you realize that that's advertising, trying to get people to get involved in this here, and it happens a lot. And maybe sometimes even kind of innocent in the sense that you may start thinking about an old boyfriend or old girlfriend from many years ago and start trying to, you know, Google their name, try to figure out where they're at, who they are now. And before you know it, you may start communicating with them and then start actually flirting with them. And the communication becomes much more intimate than what it should be. And so those things happen. And I know that more than one marriage would actually have been harmed because somebody started basically, if not actually having a physical relationship, at least an internet relationship with somebody like that. And so in Proverbs 5 verse 15 said, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well, so your fountains be dispersed abroad. Streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, rejoice, wife of your youth. And honestly, this is figurative language, but basically what he's saying is that you need to find your satisfaction with your own spouse. And don't look to other people to satisfy you. And he goes on and points out that the results of looking someplace else, while it may start out as being innocent. And verse 15 says that the loving dear and graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? And again, think about who you're communicating with. Think about the message that's going out to other people and what you're advertising as you talk to other people on the internet. And so, like I said, I've known on more than one occasion of a Christian couple being split apart because one of them is not always the man. Start talking to somebody online, starts watching pornography online, starts to talk to other people and wind up doing something they should not do, period. Not that all those things are already things you shouldn't be doing. And then also gossip and slander is also very, prevalent on the internet. Talebearing. Proverbs 11 verse 3, there, first part says, a talebearer reveals secrets. And on the internet, there's this whole thing, like I said before, which means that when you type something out there, and a lot of people, times people just kind of forget this or put it in the back of their mind, but you type something out there or send a picture out there, it means that anybody and everybody throughout the whole world can see that. It's not just for maybe your intended audience. Other people can see it also. And therefore, it is very powerful and very dangerous when that happens. Recently, Caleb, I watched a little bit of American Idol. I haven't watched a whole lot, but I know Caleb is one of the young country music singers. And he's, I think, from Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he made it to the Final Four in American Idol. And this last week, they announced that he was forced to drop out. And the reason is he had made a video when he was 12 years old. And that video is still out there on the internet, and it will always be out there on that internet. Again, people don't think about that. That what you post out there today is going to be out there for infinity. It'll always be out there. Somebody can find it. And therefore, he was forced to actually withdraw from the competition. They look and find a lot of times things like, again, gossip, slander occurs, that people start talking about one another, being mean to one another. And a simple fact is that girls, females, are more likely to use the internet to get back to somebody than boys or men. And there's some of the stories you can read about are just, heartbreaking as far as reputations are damaged. And you don't have to be true, just put it out there and people think, well, because it's out there, it's true. Now, automatically, seeing everything's on the internet, it's true, right? And so they started doing that and caused things like suicides even. This here is a picture of a 13-year-old girl by the name of Megan Meyer. And Megan Meyer started communicating to a 14-year-old boy. What she didn't know was that 14-year-old boy was actually a 49-year-old mom that lived in her neighborhood, that knew Megan. And in the process of communicating with her, finally broke out the relationship with her and told her, by the way, the world would be better off if you were dead. She took that seriously. And so she killed herself. And there's other cases of people against lies ruined because things are posted that were never meant to be posted. This here is another story about a young man that went to Rutgers University, and his name was Tyler Clement. And somebody posted some videos of him on the internet, and he wound up committing suicide. And so these things happen. As far as lives are ruined a lot of times, again, reputations are damaged or destroyed. One of the, again, interesting facts about this, kind of alarming, quite frankly, is that 20% of teens have engaged in cyberbullying behavior, including posting mean or hurtful information or embarrassing pictures, spreading rumors, publicizing private communications, spending anonymous emails, or cyber pranking somebody. So if one out of five, I've actually done this then, at least to somebody. Then you have the danger of internet predators. And as there are people that are out there that are looking to take advantage of especially young people that are lonely and they're gullible. You have a young boy or a young girl that's home by herself and they have the computer and they start communicating and this person pops up and this person wants to be their friend. And the person has the same likes they have and have the same desires. They have the same hobbies and they just seem to communicate. And basically after a while, the person starts talking about, how about meeting up? How about finding, you know, getting together? And so just keep in mind, there are over 700,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. Over 10,000, that's kind of falling off the page. We don't know where they're at all. And these people use the internet for their victims in many cases. Now, so that's who's out there with their computers. And again, teens are willing to take the chance to meet somebody they had never met. Even go in across state lines to go and find somebody they never even met. As it says there, teens willing to meet with strangers. 16% of teens consider meeting someone they've only talked to online, and 8% have actually met someone they only knew online. The police departments have, a lot of them have departments that are set up where it's a cop or a detective and they are pretending to be whatever, a 14 or 15 year old boy or girl, and they often catch people, older people, that believe they're somebody young, and they basically are trying to take advantage of them. And then also online gambling. You know how they meet? Well, they meet by online gambling, or gaming, excuse me. Playing games together, kind of communicating that way, making friendship, chat rooms, Facebook, other ways like that. Then another danger is spreading false doctrine. In 2 John, verse 9, it says, whoever transgresses is not abide Dr. Christ, does not have God. He abides in Dr. Christ, both the Father and Son. If anyone in chemistry does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him to your house, nor greet him, for he greets him, shares in his evil deeds. Now, false teachers use a lot of different means of doing, spreading their doctrine, but it's easy to post things on the website. And again, you may think, well, everybody believes this, or this is a really big movement that believes this. Here's only one person. But the access of internet makes it easy to spread the false doctrine. Emails that we get a lot of times, you know, they have things that teach us something that's not true. Maybe you get an email trying to teach you something that's just something not true. So as Matthew 7 verse 15 says, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And then also, as you look at it, another thing of the internet is internet stealing. That people are using it so as to gain things that are not theirs. And you look at it and think about violating copyrights, very easy on the internet. Start sharing things. And I kind of have a principle or a thing I do, and that is if I come across an article and I think it's a really good article, I want to share it. I communicate with the person that wrote it and say, is it okay if I print this? And most of the time you get an okay, just don't charge for it. Just, as long as, and I use this plane just for the church building, it's okay, but don't charge for this. But how many people print things that they don't get the okay from? That's the thing about copyright laws. We start sharing things. And you think about Ephesians 4, 28, let him still no longer. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good that he may have something to give him as need. And that is, we need to make sure, again, we're being honest, we're being forthright, and trying to give people what their due is. A number of years ago, I don't know if it's still a big deal now, but, you know, stealing of songs on the internet was a big deal. And people were selling songs they had stolen. And maybe you could download files, again, that really not intended to be downloaded. And those kind of things you have to think about. And so, as you look at this, and when I was talking about emails, how many of us have ever received an email that goes along some of these lines here? And that is that my husband obeyed the gospel. We live in Ethiopia, Uganda, some other country. And he passed away recently with $25 million, and he wants to transfer the money to the United States so as to help gospel preachers. And we know you're a gospel preacher, so we're willing to give you 10% of the $25 million. All you have to do is tell us your routing number and your bank account number. Okay. Now, how many people have received an email like that? Or an email that says something like, from this from the IRS, and we have refund, and all we need is your bank account and your router number. You know, I receive those kind of things. And you know, I talked to the president of the bank one time. He says, you'll be surprised how many times people fall for it. And so just somebody be careful. So I finally end this lesson with the 10 commandments. 10 internet commandments. One is, you shall have no other gods before me, not even online. That God always comes first. Second is, you shall not treat your computer as if it was a god. You shall not bow down to it or serve it. The third is, you shall shun those taking God's name in vain. Just because it's on the internet, just because it's on the computer, doesn't mean it's not profanity. And it's not misusing God's word or God's name. Remember the Sabbath, get off the computer and do something else. Take a rest from it sometimes. Honor your father and mother by respecting their standards. Another is here, you shall not destroy reputations or kill time. Another is, do not commit adultery in your heart. And again, I can't stress this enough, because I've known families of young men who have ruined their marriages because of pornography on the internet. Do not steal by downloading that which is copyright protected. And also, do not post false statements. And finally, respect your brother's broadband. Basically, those are the 10 internet commandments. Yeah, we do those, you'll be, I think, a good safety measure right there. So this is the lesson I just wanted to give, because I thought a couple of weeks ago, I made some kind of comment about the dangers of things in our computers and the internet. I just thought it'd be worthy of giving a lesson on this. I appreciate your kind attention. We now have a song selected of 344, In My Door Standing. And so our way of encouraging